for 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Good morning, Arizona. You're in my house, Rosie on the House. And you know, living in my house is like living in the future. We told you 6 weeks ago to get ready for the monsoon season. And if you'd have just been doing everything we were telling you to do, you would have been able to sit back and absolutely enjoy this event that just passed through virtually the entire state of Arizona. There, but I can tell by the phone calls, many of you didn't do all the things we were encouraging you to do.
Well, and there were some places that the force of nature was too strong, even if they did it all right.
Oh, boy.
They still got hammered hard.
This was quite an event, quite an event. And you and Greg Peterson talk regularly about water harvesting. I determined that if I had been harvesting the water off my rooftop, I would have harvested enough to fill half a swimming pool, about 9,000 gallons.
That's a lot of water.
Now, if you stop and think about, and that's in one event. That's not over the course of the year. That's in a, we've got rain gauges.
This week.
We've got rain gauges in our neighborhood that are registering close, over 2.5 to 3 inches of rain. And so you think about that over the course of a year. Now, how about if you would codify rain harvesting for communities that we could find a purpose for that water? How many millions and millions of free gallons of water falling out of the sky could we do something with?
It has always been argued that Phoenix never got enough to make it worth the investment, and that you'd have to be in Tucson where they get a little bit more rain on average. But, you know, in light of, you know, Lake Powell's expected to hit its all-time low since it was filled this weekend. You know, the argument starts becoming that, you know, this isn't a financial return on investment we're looking for. This is more of a survival investment and, you know, making the most out of our water resources investment.
If there was some kind of community reutilization of this water, I think it would be critical. I'm not sure how we could incorporate that. But the other thing that this storm does, other than generate absolute a blessing of moisture throughout the entire state. All national forests are now open with no fire restrictions. How about that? That's a big hallelujah right there. Get out and enjoy this beautiful state. But the other thing this weather can bring out are fraudulent storm chasers. And like I said, living in my house is like living in the future. Several weeks ago, we reached out to our good friend, Mr. Jeff Fleetham, the director of the Registrar of Contractors, and said, "Director, would you mind planning a Saturday? You could come in and talk to us about all you deal with in the agency with storm chasers." So we set this date a couple weeks ago, and it couldn't have been timed perfect. Director, thanks for coming in this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Rosie. I'm glad to be here in Romy.
My phone's been busy. I know your phone's been busy.
Well, it certainly will be on Monday. That's for sure. So, you know, we get rain in Arizona, contrary to popular belief from a lot of people that come in here. I mean, I grew up here in this state, you know, and I was just talking to Jennifer, the lovely Jennifer.
Yes.
God bless you, Jennifer. Rosie, you drew the long straw there.
Yes, I did.
In 1973, when my son was born, all the bridges were washed out except the Mill Avenue Bridge. And we lived in Mason. We had to get up early to drive to the hospital for my son to be born, because the only way we could get across from Mesa to Phoenix was the Mill Avenue Bridge. All the high does. Interstate bridges were down. Everything was down. And the year before that was, I think we had a 500-year flood and a 200-year flood and all these other kind of things, all back to back to back. So, you know, one of the interesting things about, and I'm going to jump in about water, the valley here is one of the richest aquifers in the country and in the world. It's unbelievable how much water is under the ground here. So it flows down from the mountains. So it's interesting.
And then you put that together with the foresight of our pioneers.
Absolutely.
That harvested all of the surface water through the dams and the Salt River Project and the CAP.
Right. And the underground storage, too. So it's interesting.
I'm visiting with people all over the country all the time that just say, you know, I don't want to invest in real estate in Arizona because you guys are going to run out of water. Y'all going to be high and dry. Your property is going to be worthless. I said, well, you may have us mixed up with Nevada.
Or California.
Or California, exactly. We're in Arizona really in pretty good shape. Not that we have enough to waste.
Right, absolutely.
But we have enough to use.
And if you're out with your kids, one of the things I always do when we come through a wash, I always say, all right, guys, dig. How far to water? And that's like, it's always amazing. Is 2-3 feet is the most we've ever had to go before you start getting that moisture. Like if you're ever out here out of water and come across this wash, just dig. Right. There's water under there.
Absolutely.
Oh, something. Man.
It's not going to taste good, but it'll keep you alive.
So we...
There you go. Either does Ouzo. But,
now, you will... As many of the Arizona washes have been flooded, I think we're under a flash flood watch.
Yes.
Through tomorrow night, through Sunday night.
I think so.
Many parts of the state.
Absolutely.
We're going to have Iris Hermosillo from Channel 15 Morning News meteorologist on in the next hour to talk about this event. But as our washes and our streets have been flooded, Director, your office is going to be flooded with inquiries and questions about invariably what we see after an event like this.
Right.
Talk to us about what homeowners should know if they suffered any loss or damage. But how about if they didn't, but someone's knocking on their door saying, yes, you did. what scenarios are you seeing and what can you share with our listeners?
Well, some might anything that happens to be opinion, I'll probably preface with this is my opinion.
Okay, good.
So here's what happens typically after an event like this or anything, whether it's a wind event or a rain event. All of a sudden, homeowners or business owners find out, "Oops, I should have done some regular maintenance." Right.
Right.
Anyway, so. And I should have done this thing, I should have done that last year, or I should have done that 4 months ago, and then all of a sudden now we're in a pickle. What makes this particularly tough this time of this year is, one, there's labor shortages, there's material shortages. And then you know, if you're in an area that had some wind damage that we had, I think we had some 70-mile-an-hour winds in parts of Scottsdale. And probably in other areas of the state, you know, in some other areas of the state, that's compounded on top of some of the burns that we have. And so we'll have mudslides and flooding like that. You know, it's urgent. You know, I've got, you know, holy mackerel, my roof is leaking, everything. I need somebody here today, right today.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be there today. There's not enough licensed contractors in the state of Arizona or in the state of Arizona and New Mexico and Nevada combined to handle all those kind of things all at one time. And so what I encourage people to do, and this is, look, I get it. It's not, is to slow down a little bit, do what you can to mitigate further damage, and find somebody that knows what they're doing to fix the damage, repair your roof, do those kind of things. Also, make sure that they're properly licensed. Not just licensed, you know, I love my plumber friends and my electrician friends and my drywall contractor friends, but they are not licensed to fix roofs, right? and so just because someone says they're licensed is another thing. And then secondly, what we get is Arizona is a hotbed for nomadic organized crime units. They've been called other things in the past. They've been called travelers in a variety of different names. But these are groups that specifically target vulnerable communities. Vulnerable communities, you know, we all talk like this. You know, I'll be 70 in December, and I'm thinking, I'm not vulnerable, for God's sake. But vulnerable communities are people that are, you know, in a bind. You know, you're in a pickle. You're right up against the wall. My house, my roof just blew off. I'm 35 years old. Some guy knocks on my door. Look, I've got extra shingles here. I'll fix your roof. You go, for God's sakes, please do it right now. And so just give me some cash. So you give him some cash, and the guy goes, okay, I'll be back later on today, and we'll fix your roof. And guess what? It doesn't happen. And so
the one thing that does happen is cash is exchanged.
Something cash or a check, that does happen.
That does happen.
Something's exchanged. If someone comes to you and wants you to pay them cash to do the work, my recommendation, and not just my opinion, my recommendation is run as if your hair is on fire. That is never a good sign. One time
offer today only for cash.
Right. Yeah. Or any time offer. You have no recourse if you give somebody cash. I mean, you may try to go to law enforcement and things like that, but it's just almost like, what can we do with that? You said you gave this person the cash. Make sure they're properly licensed. Make sure that you have a written agreement of what's going to be done that you sign. And if there's something on there that you don't understand, stop. Say, I don't understand this. Make sure that you tell me what that is. And one of the things you're going to be doing is you're going to be going, oh, my God, it's still leaking. I can't wait this long. If you don't wait and you jump into one of these things, you're going to be out $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $20,000, $30,000 from doing business with an improperly licensed or an unlicensed entity, and there's no recourse. Yeah. I always encourage you, though, to file a complaint with the registrar. But if they're properly licensed, you got the recovery fund. So.
And if you did that route you were talking about, I can't wait that long. Well, you're out all that money and nothing got done.
Nothing got done.
So and you're out even longer. Sorry. Wouldn't a good roofer offer to tarp that for you?
They would, or something. They would do something to mitigate it. Whether it was, okay, I'm going to throw something over the top. I'm going to tarp it. I'm going to do something like that. But then you go, like in October of 2010 with the hailstorm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 150,000 roofs, they're not an extra 150,000 tarps in the city to get that stuff done immediately.
We're here this morning with the director of the Registrar of the Arizona State Registrar of Contractors, Mr. Jeff Fleetham. Jeff, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
When we get back, Jennifer wants to ask you a question about a two-legged roof rat in a pickup truck that she actually met this week. And then we've got a listener that knew you would be in this morning and specifically wrote in a couple questions.
Gotcha.
So we're going to cover all of that and more here at Rosie on the House.
All right.
With Director of Registrar of Contractors, Mr. Jeff Fleetham.